Well, truth or dare, when was the last time you played that game? I had to think long and hard about that. But this morning, there's no game. For I want to challenge you with truth, and I want to dare you to step out in your faith. You know, if you think about it, one of the trends here in America these days is putting warning labels on everything. Have you ever noticed this? It started there a few years ago by putting a warning on cigarette packs. And I think that was a pretty good thing. But now there's a warning on everything. I mean, if you go buy a box of cornflakes, it says consult your doctor first, right? Everything and anything. They're all afraid, I suppose, of being taken to court. So they're warning you about everything. Putting a disclaimer on there in the beginning, and it comes, I suppose, from this desire to be a risk-free society. America has been the land of opportunity, and now it appears that we are the land of safety first, where we want to remove, really, all the risk for living out of society. We want this kind of cradle-to-grave security. But there's a warning out there as you read historians, people like Arnold Toynbee, the eminent historian, that says the heartbeat of a civilization is the spirit of adventure. And they go on to tell us that when safety becomes our number one goal in life, civilizations historically begin to decline rather than to continue to develop. Now, on a personal level, the fact is you can't remove all the risk out of society, can you? Life is really composed of a series of risks. Choosing a college is a risk. Choosing a career is a risk. Choosing marriage is a risk, correct? I mean, you're standing there at the altar and you're saying, I do, but you're also wondering, what if? Eating fast food is a risk these days. Driving on the highway. I mean, traveling down I-75 with half the folks buried in their phones or eating a hot dog, there's a risk. You can't live without risk. And so why do you suppose that God has made a world where there is risk? Why has God manufactured an environment where there's going to be this kind of atmosphere where risk exists? Perhaps a lot we could say about that, but the one thing that I want to share is that I believe it's because God, in part, wants us to learn to trust Him. All through the Scripture, we find this over and over again. God asking people to put their faith in Him. And He asks us to take risks. Think about it. These two stories that are before you today, one out of the Gospel of Matthew, here where we have these two blind men that are healed, and then the second in the Gospel of Mark, where Jesus drives out an evil spirit, the Bible here says, according to your faith, it will be done to you. And that's a key to great adventure, isn't it? That's really a key to living this life of discipleship that's so adventurous, so exciting. According to your faith, God says you get to choose how much I'm going to bless your life. You believe, and I'll bless. In Mark 9, it says, everything is possible for the person who has faith. And folks, that makes it a great adventure. Now, for this journey we are on, we all need to grow in our faith. And so I am daring you today to grow in your faith. Faith is like a muscle, and it develops, and it can be strengthened. It can be weak or it can be strong, and it just depends on how much you use it. And one of the important truths to learn as disciples is the need to build our faith. The Bible says, have faith in God, and faith is total dependence upon God, humble obedience. It's the capacity to see what is already completed. And when it's absent, it guarantees failure in our life. And so I ask you today, how is it with your faith? Are you struggling? Are you toiling in doubt? Are you finding the way difficult? With all the construction going on our roads these days, and new streets and new signal lights and all type of things like that, I remember the story about these 3 telephone repair crews that were sent out. And at the end of the week, they all reported back to their boss, and the first group came back and said, we've been out all week, and we installed 21 new telephone poles. The second crew came back just shortly after that and said, we've been out all week, and we've put in 25 new telephone poles. And the third crew came back and said, we have been out all week, and we put in 3 new telephone poles. And the foreman, well, what gives? The other 2 crews, they were out all week just the same, and they put in more than 20 new telephone poles. And he said, well, you ought to see how far they left their sticking out of the ground. I got to tell you today that many disciples strive and struggle in their life, always attempting but never attaining. And when doubt dominates, you lose. And I say to you today that you need to feed your faith, and when you do, your doubts will starve to death. We are told throughout the Bible we're to walk by faith, live by faith, conquer with faith. We're to grow in faith. In fact, we are a household of faith. And the Christian life that we lead is to be a matter of faith, all that we do. Today, I want to dare you to grow in your faith. Now, there's several ingredients here that I want to raise to your attention that probably you're going to say, yes, that's true. I know all about that. But I want to remind you of 3 essential ingredients as part of our faith to help challenge us today. And what does real faith look like? What is a component of one who has a great faith? Well, one of the components is anticipation. Anticipation. You know, God always starts in our hearts with a dream, it seems. And it entails this kind of anticipation. I saw this notice in a window long ago up in the New England states. And it was in the window of a coat store. And it had this sign there. It says, we have been established for over 100 years and have been pleasing and displeasing customers ever since. We've made money. We've lost money. We've suffered the effects of coal naturalization, coat rationing, government control, and bad prayers. And we have been cussed and discussed, messed about, lied to, held up, robbed, and swindled. And the only reason we stay in business is we want to see what happens next. When you get out of bed in the morning as a disciple, are you anticipating God to do great things? Are you excited to see what God is going to do in your life next? With what's going on in your journey? You may have gone through a bad time, but hang on. Nothing happens until somebody starts dreaming. You got to get an idea, a vision, the goal that God wants you to follow, an ambition from the Lord. You have to set your sights on some target. And when God wants to work in your life, it seems that he always gives you a dream. If you peek into the Bible, you find this kind of story over and over again. How God plants a seed in the life and the heart of someone, gives them a vision, speaks to them, and begins to challenge them. Challenge them with a dream about yourself or about how God can use you to impact the world around you. There are many examples of this, like Noah, for example. God gave this vision to Noah to build the ark. He gave a vision to Abraham to be the father of a great nation. He gave Joseph a dream of being the leader to save his people. He gave Nehemiah the dream of building that wall around Jerusalem. He gave David the dream of building the temple. Time and time again, we find God speaking in those dreams, that vision. And Apostle Paul speaks about this. He picks up on this as well as he's writing to the people there in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 3, he says, God is able to do far more than we would dare to ask or even dream of, infinitely beyond our highest prayers and desires, thoughts, or hopes. A dream from God is going to require faith. If a dream comes from God, it will be so big that you can't do it on your own. I guarantee you that. If you could do it on your own, you don't need faith. You don't have faith, you're not pleasing God, because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And God starts with this dream. And if you really believe God, you're going to anticipate it. You're going to anticipate God working. You're going to make plans for it and get prepared. Many believers think they have faith in God, but they're not anticipating God to do anything in their life. Now, I got to tell you, when I go on a trip, I get ready a couple weeks ahead of time. Maybe I'm a little odd, but I get excited about this trip I'm going on. And I get the luggage out and I get my camera ready. I get my hotel reservations. I buy my tickets. I kind of plan out where I'm going. And part of the trip is that couple weeks leading up to it where you're excited. You're anticipating, right? And likewise, as disciples, we really need to go before God anticipating, expecting God to work in a mighty way. And if you go to God for something and you don't anticipate God working, you're already defeated. And more than likely, you don't believe God is going to do it anyway. And you may hope, you may desire, you may want, but are you preparing? Are you anticipating God to work in your life? Another ingredient that I find that is so essential is a little bit different to that, and it's assurance. That confident assurance in Christ. Often our dreams are really delayed, but we wait with assurance. And if you notice in life, God does not always really fulfill the dream immediately. I mean, there's always a time lapse. There seems to be, there's always a delay. Even the minor prophets and others pick up on this. Like in Habakkuk chapter 2, God says, these things I plan won't happen right away. Slowly time approaches when the vision will be fulfilled. And here is where you start asking the when question, right? When, Lord? When are you going to answer my prayer? And when faith goes to the market, I tell you, it always takes a basket. Assurance isn't I hope so, or I think God will, or God might do that, but it's I know God's going to take care of it. Assurance doesn't look for a lot of evidence. And we have some of the world's best detectives in our churches, always looking for some sliver of hope, of evidence that God might work in this situation. But growing disciples don't do that. They possess assurance. Faith is that vitamin that makes all that we read in the Bible digestible. And it makes it able, really enables us to assimilate it and make the point of application in our life. And if we don't have faith, we can't get anywhere or accomplish anything. And if you want to walk on water, as they say, you got to get out of the boat. You got to move forward in your journey with assurance, knowing that God is going to be there. God's got this. Maybe the best example of that is, as I think back to my childhood, going to the circus and the trapeze artists, right? The trapeze artists, they always amaze me. Suspended high above the air, they swing out on the bars and then let go and they grab the other bar. And the bars are far enough away that you can hang on to the first bar and grab the other at the same time. I mean, at some point there, at the right moment, you got to let go of the first bar and grab onto the second bar. And at that split second, they're up there holding on to neither. I wonder if you've ever been like that. That split second where you're standing in the gap. Maybe it was a career. You're leaving one career and going on to another. And you've had to let go of the first. And you haven't started the second. And you're there up 180 feet above with no net, holding on to nothing. But you realize if you don't let go and grab onto God's vision, you're going to swing back. As we travel through this life as disciples, we have to move forward with that confidence, that great assurance that God is going to be there, that God is going to be there to guide, to lead, to answer those prayers, to be present with you when all the challenges come. And last, your faith life is going to have to involve action. Nothing is going to happen to that dream until you wake up and put it into action. You got to stay on task. You got to make that decision to go for it. You got to follow faithfully. One of my favorite baseball stories is with the Chicago Cubs. Remember back in the day, Charlie Grimm was the manager, and the Cubs were going through one of those long spurts of winless seasons. And one of his scouts called him right in the middle, said, "Charlie, I just watched the greatest pitcher in the land. He had a perfect game, 27 strikeouts. No one even hit a foul ball until the bottom of the ninth. With two outs, one guy hit a foul ball. I've got him standing here right with me. What do you want me to do?" And Charlie said, "Sign the guy that got the foul ball. We need hitters." Folks, the church needs hitters. We need people to step up to the plate and be obedient to following God. The church needs that. God needs that. And you got to make that decision. I'm going to go for it. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to follow the Lord. You see, it seems like for every 10 dreamers in the world, there's only one decision maker. Somebody willing to pull the trigger, to actually step out in faith and follow the Lord. A lot of people have dreams, but they never go for it. The book of James says, you must believe and not doubt. Faith is a verb. It's active. It's not passive. It's something you do. Decision making is a faith-building activity. And that's where you use your muscle, following God. Because God can't steer a parked car. 80%, as you know, of success is just showing up. The problem with so many Christian people is they aren't obedient. The acid test of your faith is your obedience unto God. And don't tell me today you're believing in God when you aren't obeying God. Faith involves obedience, and action is required for that faith life. It doesn't make any difference what you tell God, how much you pray, how much you desire, how much you find your desire intense. If you're not obeying God, that's not faith. Faith is action. The very word suggests I believe, I serve, I live, I love. The method, the means, the material, the direction are always provided by God. The only thing we have to do is obey. And I wonder today, are you obeying? Faith in the midst of uncertainty, faith is more than desire. It's more than that intellectual assent. It's more, I hope so. Faith is the gift of God, but so is the air. But at least you have to breathe it. Faith involves action. And I wonder today if you are putting that into action. That dream, that vision, what it is that God has called you to do. I'll never forget the story of that fellow by the name of John Church. And John Church had a dream. He felt God calling him to get involved in the church. His last name was Church. Maybe that was part of it, but he felt God really calling him into ministry. And he said the first time he ever did a sermon, he stood up in the pulpit. He had 36 points, and he got up in the pulpit, and he couldn't remember a single one. He was just so, you know, embarrassed. He just sat down. As soon as the service was over, it is said he darted out the door and he ran down that path there in the mountains of North Carolina. And finally, his father caught up to him, gasping for air, and walked along John for a few moments. And then John's dad said, "Son, I know you can't preach. The people now in the community know you can't preach. God knows you can't preach. Please don't put the family through that ever again." And John looked up at his dad and said, "Dad, I know I can't preach, and I know you know I can't preach, and I know the people here in this church now and the community knows I can't preach, but why is it that God's got this vision in my heart, this calling on my life that I cannot shake? Dad, I've got to preach." And preach he did. He became one of the 20th century's greatest evangelists, John R. Church, because he followed that dream that God had for him. Let me say this today, that love makes all things easy, but it's faith that makes all things possible. And I wonder today if you would dare to place your faith in God and step into God's gymnasium today on this faith journey. And according to your faith, it will be done for you. Shall we pray? God, we stand before you today on this Labor Day weekend. With his challenge from you, O Lord, to dare each of us to exercise our faith, to really be obedient, to expect and anticipate you working in our lives, to have that confident assurance that you are there, and to step out in obedience and real action and to be faithful. Oh, challenge each and every one of us here today that we might do that, to strengthen our faith muscle and be faithful in following you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.